today. Auto financing the easy way.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
No, it's not big government or bust. It hasn't changed at all. I looked again last night, and it is still the same. Here it is, Thursday, July number 26 in the year of our Lord, 2018. I do believe it is my mom's birthday today. My mommy. Yes, everybody has a mommy. Well, if you have a mommy, you should. If you have a mother, well, there are moms, and there are mommies, and there are mothers. And I think everybody knows the difference between the three. And yes, I know I'm not a mama's boy per se, but I still have a mommy. Love my moms, as they say. Any case, it is July number 26 in the year of the Lord 2018. And no, I'm not going to tell her, you never ask a lady or speak of a lady's age. But she seems to be doing well. Yes. As well as any of us can be doing as she advances up there in age. I'm glad she is, very glad she is still with me. And I get to talk to her whenever I want via modern convenience called a telephone. Or when I have the opportunity and a chance and the freedom, I can book on over to my hometown. I don't even really call it my hometown, but I could head over to my hometown and pop in and say hi and give her a hug and a kiss on the forehead and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. Love my mommy. I do miss my daddy. No, I don't have a daddy, actually. My father was not daddy. He was pop or dad. But he's almost 3 years now. Man, time really flies even when you're not having fun sometimes. But anyway, it is a nice, well, it is kind of another muggy, but sunny morning here, partly sunny. I guess we're going to have some more rain today and possibly tomorrow. It's been a very wet week, and it's been extremely muggy. The rain doesn't seem to be I think it's adding to the humidity, actually. Yeah, you would think that that's what would normally happen. But a lot of times when it rains, a storm comes through, pushes in drier air, and even though it's rained, it doesn't get muggy. But this past week, it just seems like it doesn't get relieved. Just muggy, muggy, muggy. Now, I don't mind warm temperatures. I really would rather not have the mugginess. I like it being, 80s, 80 to 85. That's my comfort zone. That's my ideal zone. That's beach weather. But you add in high humidity, it gets to 60, 70, 80%, and it gets a little oppressive. Might as well live in Atlanta, Georgia for that. See, there's a reason I don't live in Atlanta or that region of the country. In Georgia or Louisiana or places like that, simply because it's hot. It's got the perfect temperature range, but it's just too damn muggy. Now, there are people that like it, and that's fine. I don't. And there are people that don't like it to be 80 degrees. They'd rather it be, 50 or 40. Well, you know what? Alaska is perfect for you, or Canada. If you're a leftist, move to Canada. By the way, it looks like you might be able to be a little bit, quote-unquote, safer in Toronto. Because as the mayor has espoused his belief that nobody needs a gun in Toronto, Canada, and that he really wants to move forward with trying to confiscate all handguns from Canadians in the city of Toronto. If he succeeds, that means only criminals will have guns in Toronto, so you should be a hell of a lot safer in Toronto pretty soon. So I would suggest that if you're a leftist and you like cooler temperatures, that you make haste and make a preparation to immigrate to Canada. But do it legally, because even though Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has said that, you know, he would take immigrants, what is their Department of Immigration? I forget the name of their Department of Immigration, who happens to be a legal Canadian immigrant, by the way, from the Middle East. I know this is the funniest thing, but he says they're not taking everybody. So you better get in line now before the Canadian door closes. Because he said it. Now, he's part of Justin Trudeau's administration. He was put there by good old Justin himself. He says that Canada can't afford to take everybody. So I'm just saying that if you want, you know, if you're wealthy, if you're independently wealthy, like a bunch of the Hollywood stars who all lied, because none of them, I think the only one who ended up moving out of the country, was Matt Damon. I think he moved to Australia. Yeah, but that's it. Everybody else who promised to move if Trump was elected hasn't budged. They're still here. And I don't look, you're only supposed to lie on the screen, whether it be a little screen or big screen, because somebody else writes it for you. You're reading a script. You're not supposed to, if you're an actor, you're not supposed to lie without a script. Did Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, and half of Hollywood actually think that they were going to scare and pressure the American people into not voting for who they wanted for president simply because they threatened to move? We knew they wouldn't leave. We knew that, you know, didn't we have, we had a bunch of Hollywood stars talk about the, you know, well, we're going to go on strike until Trump is out of office. They're still making movies. Most of them are pretty damn bad. You know, the best part is for many of these movies that have come out lately since Trump was inaugurated, many of them, even though they were expecting to be big, huge successes, many of them that were even thought to be going to be, oh, this is going to be a blockbuster, they bombed. So it's not that they did, that they promised to go on strike and they didn't. It's that the American people went on strike and decided not to support their movies and their careers. Now, these people are still being paid ridiculous amounts of money, even when their movie flops. And it's a surprise, actually, that the latest Mission Impossible, I guess they're saying, is so far is the biggest box office draw of the Mission Impossible series with Tom Cruise. I don't know why. I haven't seen the last two or three. What are they on anyway? Is this Mission, what, number six? Well, let me put it, I don't know what they're on. So, because I stopped watching and following after Mission Impossible 2. So I don't know what happened in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't care. I'm not watching Tom Cruise. I think he's a terrible actor. He's a weird man, personally. Normally. He's an odd duck. He's not like John. Well, I mean, John Travolta's kind of an odd duck, but he's not like John Travolta, you know, being a part of the, Scientology? I refuse to call it a church. I know that they've gotten the status and they're now called the Church of Scientology, but that is not a religion in my book. But in any case, by the way, I understand that he and John Travolta do not get along, and the church does try to keep them separated. But John is kind of out of the loop anyway. Cruise is still their big draw. He's their big star, not Travolta. He's in better shape. I guess it's debatable if he's better looking than Travolta. I don't know. I'll let you ladies decide that. It's a toss up. I don't know. Any case, enough Tom Cruise bashing. Never been a fan of his. Yes, I did like Top Gun and Risky Business. Yeah, I like those. I don't remember the last time that Risky Business was even on the air. But in any case, Yeah, it's a classic, I know, and he's had that attitude of, you know, I'm a huge star ever since, not since Risky Business, since Top Gun. He's had that air and attitude, and everybody's just fallen all over this guy. I don't know why. Any case, we do have a lot to cover this morning. We're going to try to get to much of it. If you haven't heard, look, can you just say Rod was right again? I love saying I was right. I love being proved I was right. Facebook, they have an issue. Their stock evidently has now. I don't keep track of this stuff, you know, stock market, because I don't day trade. So when major stuff happens, I pay attention. But other than that, I you know, since I don't day trade, I don't watch my stock go up and down every. You can't, if you just have stock for an investment, a true investment purpose, and long term investing, you can't look at the value of the stock every day because it'll drive you insane. Yeah, I tried that early on, and it's like, oh my God, I don't know, my stock's dropping. What am I? No, you're in it for the long haul, so it doesn't matter what the day-to-day movement is. Because if you hold a stock long, it's going to go up. I mean, I've told people here before, I'm not going to reveal my entire portfolio, but I own some Home Depot. You know, I originally bought some Home Depot. It's been some years now. My first Home Depot stock cost me $38. Yeah, I've made a little bit of money off of it, if I cash out now. But I'm not gonna. And you know, I reinvest the dividends, so I keep buying more shares of stock without having to put money into it. And every year, I'm able to buy. Well, it depends on the price, but every year I increase my holdings in Home Depot. It's pretty cool. But I don't look at the value of Home Depot stock on a daily basis. Because I don't care what it is today. At this particular point, I really don't care what it's going to, well, unless it drops down to, you know, $40 again. I don't really care what it's going to be tomorrow. Because it's a long-term investment. I'm not a day trader. But I've told people that this Facebook was going to get hit hard with their stock value. Especially since they were starting to lose real numbers of people. Now, of course, they were getting rid of the so-called, like, Twitter. You know, Facebook was doing it a lot more quietly than Twitter was. You know, Twitter announced, well, we're getting rid of all these bots and fake accounts and blah, blah. You know, 58 million and 70 million, 100 million accounts are gone. Facebook tried to do it more quietly. But the problem wasn't the fake accounts that they had. The problem was is that they were doing these Orwellian algorithms that were basically 2 weeks ago Facebook admitted that they were shadow banning just like Twitter, because people will tell me Facebook doesn't shadow ban. I'm saying, yeah, sure, Facebook does shadow ban. No, they don't. Yes, they do. And then they admitted it. And then all hell started to break loose over at Facebook, and you started getting people calling for, well, maybe Zuckerberg should step down, or maybe we should fire him. And people are like, you can't fire Zuckerberg. And I'm like, yeah, you can. He doesn't own all the stock. The last time I checked, he doesn't own 50% plus one shares in the stock. So, yes, he can be fired. I've often said, if you start a company and you love your company and you want to keep your company and you never want to be ousted, you never, ever, ever give up control of more than 50% plus one. You never do that, because people will be able to get this. It happens time and time again throughout, you know, our country's short corporation history. We have seen people who started their companies, who've built them to and made massive fortunes for themselves and other early investors, only to lose control and be fired from their own damn companies. I mean, look at Steve Jobs. I know he came back. They asked him back, but I mean, come on. Him and his friends started in their garage. In a garage. Built it from nothing, zero. Only to be fired from his own company. You never should do that. I mean, I look at things sometimes, you know, like the TV series The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis, and sometimes he ends up with more than 50% of a company, and these people do it. He says, yeah, I'm going to give you this amount of money, but I own 50% of the company or 50.1% of the company or something like that. I'm like, no, I'd say, you know, thank you. I know that we're about to go down. I know when people say, well, Rod, 40% of something is better than 100% of nothing. No, it's not. That's a lie. Because if your whole intent is to not work for somebody else, as soon as you give up more than 50% of your company, now you're working for somebody else, and you can be fired. You're no longer a business owner. You're an investor, and you're an employee. That's it. Because the people who control the majority of the stock, they're the real owners, because they get to decide. They overrule everybody else. But look, I know how this works. You should not ever give up control of your own company if you want to keep it. There are many people who've learned that lesson the hard way in corporate America over, you know, the centuries, the past couple of centuries. And I think Zuckerberg may find that lesson hard. Can you imagine being fired before? What is he, 35 now? That's a lot of years doing nothing. What's he going to do, go start something else? He can't start another social media company. He's got too much invested in Facebook. And the new thing never works out. Remember when Steve Jobs tried to start another computer company? What was it called? Next Computer? Yeah, that was a dismal failure. It was abysmal. I know a lot of people think that they struck lightning and gold and pay dirt and all that kind of stuff all at once with their first or whatever program or company, and they think, oh, yeah, well, I did it once, I'll do it again. And it rarely happens. When you sell or get ousted from the thing that made you big, it is rare that you're able to repeat that success a second and third time. It is. I mean, I know I see all these people that talk about that they're serial entrepreneurs. All right, great. What does that mean? Oh, that means you started company after company after company. Yeah, and you go down the line and you actually go through their history and see which companies made it, and they only got one or two or three. They got that one big company that they sold out or they got fired from. That was a big hit. And maybe they'll have one other company sometime down the line or another company that they're able to sell for a few million bucks or what have you, but they never repeat that success that they had with that big company ever again. It's rare. It is so rare to have two or three companies like that, to start them. It is just rare. The energy and drive isn't there anymore. The passion isn't. Now it's just about, well, I can do it because I can, because I got the money to spend. I think it has a lot to do with, because once you make the money, now you have the money, and you can put it into something else, where before you had to do everything. Everything that you did every single day was a do or die, and you didn't have the money, so you had to be creative. You were in a different state and a different mentality. And once you become successful, well, first of all, you think you know it all. And second, you have the money. So now you have money to waste. I know people don't really waste it, but it's there for you to utilize, and you have bigger budgets than when you started before. And there is this dynamic that was there in the beginning of in a true entrepreneurial state, startup state before, that isn't there now. Because, one, you have experience. Before, you didn't have any. So you tried everything. And now you think you have experience, and you think you know what works, but it worked for that company, and far all too often, what worked for your previous company does not translate to the new venture. But you do it anyway, and you throw a little bit of money at it. Before, you didn't have the money, so you wouldn't have thrown the money at it. But now you have it, so you throw it, and you don't have the same type of mentality with it. So that's why there are a number of different dynamics that makes it very difficult to repeat. And it doesn't matter who you are, how smart you are. But this is why you see a lot of these big-time CEOs that either stick with the company that they created forever, or if they leave it and retire, they don't do anything else with any other company. They just go ahead and live off whatever they've made and or do philanthropy. Microsoft, Bill Gates. You know what? What's he doing? His Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Really? That's it? Really? Seriously? Yeah. Seriously. Now, he may invest in other things and startups and stuff like that, but he doesn't get actively involved like he did with Microsoft. He's not a CEO of anything. And a lot of those startup partners, like Wozniak and the Facebook guy, what's the Facebook's partner, co-founders? Yeah, you don't hear about them either because they don't do much. I'm not saying they're lazy, but people like that tend to fade away out of the public limelight or corporate limelight, and they don't try to make lightning strike twice somewhere. Steve Jobs did and failed miserably with Next Computer, but for some reason, when Apple was on the outs and almost going down, they said, "Well, maybe the only person who could save us is the guy who started us anyway. We can't." And Wozniak, I guess, was a big influence behind bringing Jobs back and said, "You know, you got to bring him back. The guy knows what he's doing." And that was the best move that Apple could have ever made. But again, maybe he needed that lesson. Jobs needed that lesson to be ousted. But in any case, Zuckerberg may find that lesson as well. Who knows? They may oust Zuckerberg, and then in 10, 15 years, they'll beg him to come back like Apple did with Jobs. That could be. You can't tell. But Facebook faces grim forecasts. Its privacy push. Now, this is from Reuters. Evidently, Facebook has said that its privacy push, this new privacy stuff, you know, we're trying to make your stuff private, more private and keep you safer and blah, 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 all that stuff, that BS stuff in their TV commercial. Well, they're saying that this will erode profits for years. Now, this is not the real reason. You got to read between the lines, folks. As I said before, it is simply because the eyeballs are not on Facebook. The number of eyeballs are not on Facebook that used to be there. And the amount of time those eyeballs stay on Facebook is eroding. Thus, if you don't have, to give you a raw example, if you have 2 billion users, but you get rid of half of them, now you only got 1 billion. It's not as valuable to advertisers now. And now we only have 1 billion, but if those eyes used to be online on your site for an hour every day, but now they're only online on your site for only 30 minutes every day, well, that's not very valuable because that's less opportunity for the advertiser to get their message in front of you. So Facebook is facing and I've told you this, if you've seen an increase of Facebook contacting you in your email, you know, this person has replied, or this person posted this, and that this is a new post, and that, and you haven't been here in a while, and have you looked at this page and this page? It's because they're getting desperate, because they're losing on both sides. Not only is Facebook getting rid of what they believe to be fake or overly aggressive accounts, but people are choosing to drop their accounts. And some people just get sick and they get tired of trying to go through the process of delete their account, and they just abandon it. The abandonment rate of Facebook pages of people who do not pass away is on the rise. And all this stuff I'm not making this stuff up. Facebook is admitting this. They're saying they have to, because they're a publicly held company. They're a publicly traded company. They have to announce this, the health of their company and the reasons why their company is healthy, not healthy, you know, getting sick or sicker, it's called disclosure. They have to. They're starting to disclose this stuff. People are starting to read it and pay attention to it, and it's coming to light. They've got abandonment rate issues. They've got deletion rate issues. They've got less time spent, less time on the site issues. Those three things are a lot bigger than the so-called fake issues. And while they still have those three major issues, They're also shadow banning and outward banning through their algorithm, and they're admitting it in their, about their algorithm now. Their algorithm is shadow banning. You know, a person is not being told that they're being shadow banned. A person isn't being told that their stuff isn't being seen, but their algorithm also, admittedly, they're admitting that they have algorithms in place that they put. It doesn't all happen automatically, by the way. There are people, actual people, that supposedly review all this stuff and help put this stuff in place. So this is not basically just an algorithm that is faceless and emotionless. No, according to Facebook themselves, there are actual people behind it. So it's not a computer saying, well, you know, I've been programmed to look for this kind of stuff and you just cross that line so you're done. No, it's people looking at it and saying you're done. When people should put eyeballs on it and say, no, there's nothing wrong with that. They're shadow banning people. And they're not telling them. And this is what I complained about, which is why I got rid of all my pages, because people were complaining to me, now, I want to see your content, Rod. I want to see your posts. You haven't posted in a while. No, I post every day. I'm not getting your post in my feed because Facebook decided that my pages, for whatever reason, I don't know, they never told me, was not worthy to put in people's feeds, even when those people say they wanted to see my feeds first, my posts first. I wasn't going to play that game anymore. And now they're coming out and they're saying it, and some of the executives, not Zuckerberg, but some other senior executives, are being asked about this stuff and they're being forced to defend it, and now they can't do it. It's all out there. Zuckerberg himself reportedly lost a valuation of over $16 billion due to the Facebook stock plunge. And I'm long overdue for the break, folks. We got to, you know what? We'll continue this on the other side, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Hi, Gordon. What you been up to?
Big thanks, Fred. I'm a full-time student at bartending college.
Wow! I never had time for a formal education.
Well, I decided to make time, but it's not easy. Bartending college is a 4-week course.
Gee, how far along are you?
Well, let's see. This is Tuesday, the third week. Hey, I'm a junior, and I'm late for a daiquiri lecture. Why don't you join me?
Why not?
Bartending college.
You've already spent enough time on the other side of the bar to qualify for enrollment.
Bartending college.
We'll teach you everything you need to know. You'll get a starter set of bartender's jokes like...
So I says to the guy, you can stay, but the cow's gotta go.
Bartending college.
You'll learn how to roll drunks, water the liquor, and skim the cash register. And remember, as the bartender, you drink for free.
Last call.
For integrity.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5 plus 2 equals perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of shit tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Do you try to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
Of all these billionaire rankings, because they constantly change, but evidently Zuckerberg was Fortune had him rated at the third wealthiest billionaire out there, and now with yesterday's Facebook share plummet of some 20%, means that Zuckerberg lost $16.8 billion in valuation of the stock that he holds. Which now knocks down his nest egg to just below $70 billion. And this is being cited by Fortune magazine through their his SEC filings. Now, they're reporting here, it is Newser is reporting that if this drop should hold through Thursday, it would lower his spot on the Bloomberg Billionaire Index from third to sixth. Facebook's stock price fall. I mean, this is a plummet, 20%, which the Financial Times and Newsweek says is one of the biggest aftermarket drops ever, came after a statement from Facebook noting average daily visitor numbers and second quarter revenue didn't meet analysts' expectations. Now, I don't know what they were expecting when people were telling them, look, people are abandoning Facebook. Facebook has a television ad to try to stem the tide of exodus. Because of what they're doing. I mean, they're admitting all of this now. The tech giant has been contending lately with accusations of abusing user privacy. They've always done that. I don't know why this is news all of a sudden. Facebook has always done that. Ever since they opened up their platform and people fled MySpace for Facebook, they've always taken people's privacy for granted. You know, and of course, you know, I don't remember the exact quote, but Zuckerberg is famous for having said, you know, people will get, you can get anything from these stupid people. They'll tell you anything about them. Even some, where is this Sandy Hook stuff coming from? Parents of a Sandy Hook victim slammed Zuckerberg in an open letter in The Guardian for not kicking conspiracy groups and anti-government provocateurs off the site. No, it's attack against InfoWars. Didn't InfoWars try to perpetuate this notion that Sandy Hook didn't actually happen? It was a false flag. There are a lot of people that I respect and know that believe that. Now, I'm not going to get into it about why. And of course, there are certain things that they keep that they say that makes you want to say, well, you're right. That is a little bit questionable, that particular action or piece of evidence. But as far as having the crisis actors, that's been proven, you know, nine ways a Sunday that pictures of, well, they were in this, this crisis actor was here and this crisis actor was here and they were here. No, they're not the same person. And facial recognition technology, which is very good today, definitely rules out that these people are not the same people in multiple places. But in any case, so that has fallen by the wayside. But there are other questionable things that makes you think, that make you, you know, things that make you go, not saying I fall into believing any of these conspiracy theories, but we know sometimes what our government does when they hide some of the truth and they say, well, it's for public safety or public good, which is a bunch of BS. There are other reasons behind it. Not that Sandy Hook didn't the whole John F. Kennedy assassination. Well, obviously we know that he was assassinated. That event did happen. But there is way too much evidence that suggests that there was at least two shooters. And there's an awful lot of evidence that suggests that it wasn't who we say it was, because the trajectory of bullets doesn't match where he was located. So there's all kinds of evidence for that. But we're told, you know, a lot of this stuff is still secret. That surrounds the investigation of the Kennedy assassination. So what are we to believe? Was there really a guy in the grassy knoll? Well, there are people that are still alive today that were on the ground near that say yes. And when they've done, I know there's some government officials say, well, it was the echo effect. And they've done sound test, and human ear test on this echo theory. And it doesn't hold water. So evidently, there was, by people on the ground, by, you know, we can also see some of these people in real photographs, there was somebody in the so-called grassy knoll. Now, evidently, there is also somebody. The fatal frontal shot didn't come from the grassy knoll. It came from some building with a fence. And they've done, you know, we've had a number of private investigators do trajectory tests, you know, like forensic stuff, you know, like CSI, and shows that a bullet could have come from that direction. If what they have is, you know, from the pictures and everything that they have of the incident are accurate, then there was a bullet that came from the front of the president as well as from behind the president. And neither one of the bullets, according to people who know ballistics, the angle of entry and exit would rule out anybody in that building where they found, I'm not going to mention his name. You know, people, you shouldn't mention people's name, man, when you talk about that kind of stuff, because it only makes him more famous. But I'm just, there are a lot of people that have looked at this and said, well, we don't have the whole story. Okay, it is quite possible we don't have the whole story behind Sandy Hook. I'm not denying that. I firmly believe we don't have the whole story behind Sandy Hook. And didn't they tear the building down? They tore the school down, didn't we? Didn't they? So it's going to be very difficult to get the whole story now, unless the government just decides to release it. The reason we're given is because, well, nobody would send their kid back there. So they had to tear it down. Well, I mean, We don't tear down any other school. The Columbine's still standing. Marjorie Stoneham Douglas is. I know they were talking about tearing down Marjorie Stoneham Douglas, but they didn't. Still standing. Still attending school. There's no plans to build another school. So it's not as if we haven't done it before or since. So the reasoning behind it is a little suspect. I get it. Which feeds people's conspiracy theorist fears. But this whole privacy abuse stuff with Zuckerberg and Facebook is not a conspiracy. This has been factual since nearly day one when this guy opened up the platform to let everybody use it. So he's been after people's information since that day. And we've given it to, many of us have given it to him freely. And then we turn around and we say, well, geez, now he's abused our privacy. No, really he didn't, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, really he didn't. If you give him access to all of your information, and you don't have to, then you're the one responsible. Because you've been warned and told you don't put stuff online because anybody can get access to it at any time, even if you don't want them to. So you put minimal information of yourself online. Whatever you can get away with, you know, as minimally as you possibly can. I know Facebook is supposed to be a place where you interact with people, friends, new friends, classmates, that kind of thing, family members. So you put up pictures, but you still got to be careful what you do. Because anybody can access it and see it. If one person can access it, everybody, if they know what they're doing, can access it. And Facebook, like many other companies, lie to people every day, saying, "Oh, your stuff is completely and totally private and secure." Yeah, that's what the TSA said when they first brought out those naked body scanners, too. Remember that? Oh, no, we don't keep these pictures. They don't go anywhere. And then they started showing up online. If anybody can access it, then everybody can access it if they know where to go and they know what they're doing. And it's not that hard to figure out to get to the point where you know what you're doing. And now this has come to light. You know, over the past couple of years, it's come to light that Facebook knew that this kind of stuff was happening. They're trying to cover it up. People are sick and tired of it, finally, and they're vacating. And now along with the shadow banning, because, hey, you know, Fox News, you've got people out there accusing Fox News. They're petitioning Facebook not only to take down InfoWars, but to take down Fox News. Now, I'm sorry. Fox News is not a fake news outlet. Hell, CNN has been proven to make up far more stories than Fox News has, but nobody's asking Facebook to take down CNN. Hell, it's because CNN is the one doing the asking in many cases. Yeah, they're going after InfoWars. Well, they don't like InfoWars because Alex Jones, like the president, attacks CNN constantly. Think about that. You've got a news organization that can't take criticism. Well, they can't do anything about President Trump, even though they lie about him every day, which is why he calls them fake news. So they can't get rid of the president, at least not yet. But they think they can get rid of Alex Jones. And they've been trying behind closed doors to get rid of Fox News. I mean, think about this. You have an American news outlet that doesn't like the criticism or competition, and they actively petition companies like Facebook to drop them. And they wonder why people are abandoning places like Facebook. Now, I know people who were recently caught up in this recent Twitter purge. And some people have had enough of that too. And they've just said, well, even if Twitter allows me to come back, I'm not going back. I mean, some people have been deleted, have been accused of being bots. And each time they've proven that they're not a bot, and Twitter's let them back up, but they constantly get accused of being a bot and being locked out or having their account deleted. Now, folks, that is not looking out for your interest and your safety. Because a lot of these people, the vast majority of them have right-leaning beliefs. And they espouse those beliefs on social media. That includes Alex Jones and InfoWars. That includes Fox News. That includes a number of my own friends and followers. And now this is going to start to hit them in the pocketbook. Now, see, before it didn't seem to hurt them too much financially. But now these people, they've built these companies to such a level where they're public companies and there's a lot of people that own stock. There are a lot of big institutions and a lot of big investors that own a lot of stock. It's all about the money. And now you're affecting their pocketbooks. And they've done such a tremendous job of affecting the pocketbooks of Facebook investors that now these investors have said, "Hope, that's it. Nope, we're done. It's time to look at changing the way we do business." That's right. So you have Zuckerberg now on the hot seat at Facebook. Facebook is on track right now. I don't know where it is right now or how it's going to end up at the end of the day, but it's on track currently to have the biggest drop in its short-lived history. And Facebook missing the mark has caused large institutional and individual investors to issue a harsh letter and to hatch a plan to fire Zuckerberg. Again, because Zuckerberg doesn't own 50 or control 50.1% of the stock out there. So if these big institutions who have seats on the board want to get rid of him, he's going to have a hard time staying. And he has only himself to blame. Personally, I don't think it could have happened to a nicer guy, actually. I'm sorry. But what they've done as much as I said, we don't own the platforms, but you cannot false advertise. You cannot invite people over to your platform. Hey, yeah, this is an open platform, man. You know, free to talk, free to say whatever, you know, whatever. If that's your view, that's fine. Come on over, you know, share your view. And you come over and you share your view, and no, you can't say that, and you shut it down. That's false advertising. That's wrong. I can complain about that legitimately. Now, if I knew the rules going in, that they said, well, we only want more left of center beliefs on this platform. If I know that, and I still go over there and try to espouse right-leaning stuff, and they get shut down, now I have nothing to complain about because I knew the rules. But the rules were everybody was equal, free field, express your opinions and your thoughts and your beliefs and whatever you do and whatever you like. Just express it all. As long as it's legal, express it. And now all of a sudden, oh, no. We didn't really mean that. That's what people can complain about. Twitter is shadow banning prominent Republicans like the RNC chairman and Donald Trump Jr.'s spokesman. Can you imagine this? Shadow banning important people like that who have a large following? You know, Diamond and Silk still complain about them being shadow banned on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, they what do they have, like 700,000 followers on Twitter? These people obviously want to hear or see what they post. Look, I've experienced this. Even on Twitter, too. I mean, I know I've experienced it on Facebook to the point where I just dropped all my Facebook pages. and Facebook whined and moaned when I did. They kept sending me email. You know, you can reestablish. You know, you still have time to bring back your page. You try to delete stuff on Facebook. It is so difficult. You can still bring back your page. You can still do this. You can still post here, post this, post that. I'm like, no, I'm done. Stop emailing me. But Twitter has done the same thing as far as shadow banning. And the problem with Twitter is that, well, it's not a problem, but Twitter actually allows you to see your analytics of your post. You don't have to have a page like Facebook in order to really see some real analytics. Twitter will let you see some real analytics just from your post. You don't have to have a business account or you know, what have you, to get it. And you can see it. You can see when they begin shadow banning. And you wonder, what the hell are they doing? Because they don't like what you say. Again, they write these algorithms, and they listen to people who complain. And it's usually some leftist that complains. They listen to people that complain. They send them in, and then eyeballs go and view it. And the real human being eyeballs, look, I've gotten emails from Twitter from real people. I have made rare ones, but I have made a couple of complaints, and real people have gotten back to me and said, no, we don't see a problem here. I've mentioned this before. The first and only person I've ever blocked on Twitter was trying to portray me and call me without any evidence, because it's not true, for one. Trying to call me a pedophile. I complained to Twitter twice. Each time they said, no, this just seems to be normal conversation for you two. There's nothing wrong here. Wait, somebody is falsely accusing somebody else of being a criminal like that, and you say there's nothing wrong. And yet when I post something that is an actual news story about Planned Parenthood, you tell me that I cannot do that and foment hate and falsehood when it's a news story. I didn't make it up. And you're going to put me in Twitter jail for 5 days because of it? And you're going to keep me in jail unless I personally delete the tweet? No, this is what people are getting tired of. And these tech companies, or I shouldn't say tech companies, these social media companies are starting to feel the pinch. And that's a good thing, because the reality is people lean right of center actually outnumber the people that lean left of center. And the people right of center with the man in the White House are now feeling their oats, and they can start actually being who they want to be and believe that they are, and expressing it. And they're taking their dollars and their time and their eyeballs, and they're obviously going other places.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day...
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?
Then the following Tuesday...
Howard, where's the car?
It's in the garage.
Does your garage...